to the book of Ephesians. The chapter is 3. I want to begin reading at verse number 8. I want to say to the singers tonight, we had a great song service. And I just believe a piano would have messed that up. I just believe that all of that noise, I just believe that all of those mechanical instruments would have messed up some melodious singing here tonight. And we just want to commend the song leader and all of the congregation for their participation. Aren't you glad to be in a church where you can be a participant and not a spectator? You see, a participant gets involved, participates in the service, but a spectator watches others as they serve. I'm glad to be in the Church of Christ where I can be a participant and not a spectator. A lady called the church one day. She said, "Preacher, I want to know if you have a little children's choir." I said, "Honey, our whole church is the choir. So when you come to the Church of Christ, all of us sing. Isn't that all right?" I'll talk more about it as we go on into these 2 weeks. Are you in Ephesians chapter 3? Beginning at verse number 8. "Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord." I want to do something tonight, and perhaps I will talk more on it at least 2 more nights. But I want to raise a question with this message, because the Apostle Paul says in verse number 10, "To the intent that now unto principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God." Why do we exist as the church of Christ? Why do we exist as the church of Christ? In many parts of this country, and even throughout the world, when the Church of Christ is mentioned, people seem to think, "My, what new church is this?" But to the contrary, the Church of Christ is not new at all. As a matter of fact, the Church of Christ is the oldest church in the world. The Church of Christ, even though having its beginning on the first Pentecost following the resurrection of Christ in Acts chapter 2, was purposed, planned, plotted, and planted in the mind of God from the foundation of the world. And I believe people need to understand what God had in his mind from eternity. He started placing it in earthen vessels until one day Jesus came and died for that church. The great apostle Paul teaches us in the book of Ephesians chapter 2. And I want you to chapter 1 rather. And I want you to come to verse number 3, because I need you to understand what we are talking about. Are you in Ephesians chapter 1, beginning at verse number 3? Paul said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world." Before I go any further, I want you to underline that little word, us. He has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Before God ever created this world, God already knew that man would sin. But the devil did not catch God off guard. God knew that he was going to do something for man before the world began. And in that foundational setting, God had already prepared the church in his mind. I want you to know that God planned it. Jesus Christ came and planted it. And the Holy Spirit came and put some power in it. Paul said, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us, underline the word us, unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. I want you to see this. According to the good pleasure of his will. You want to know why the church of Christ exists today? It's because according to the pleasure of his good will. It is God's will that the church of Christ exists. Look at verse number 9. Having made known unto us, underline us, us unto the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he has purposed in himself. Somebody needs to see tonight that we at one time were a mystery, but God brought that mystery into fruition. You see, that which was once a mystery has now been made known. So it is my responsibility tonight as a preacher of the gospel to help you understand the mystery of his will. There are two things I want to do before I get too far in this message. I want to let you know, first of all, when he talks about us, there's a difference between us and them. I need to make this as plain as I can make it. When God talks about us, he talks about those who are in Christ. Or when he talks about us, he talks about those who are in the church of Christ. But when he talks about them, he talks about those who are not in Christ. And when he talks about them, he talks about those who are not in the church of Christ. Well, I don't want you to think I'm making this up. Go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. I want to take a look at verses 7 through 9. Are you still in this place? I said, are you still in this place? Are you at 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 7. And to you who are troubled, rest with us. I need you to see this us, because you need to rest with us when the Lord shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flame and fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of Jesus Christ. Notice in verse 7, you need to rest with us, but in verse 8, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. I just need you to see the difference between us and them. Come over to 1 Peter of the chapter 4 and verse 16. You all do have time for this, don't you? Well, I need to work through the book tonight. I need to show you what the Bible is teaching. I don't need the ideology and concepts of men. I don't need human opinion. I need a word from on high. Are you in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 16? The Bible said, yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first began at us, I just need you to see the us, because somebody in here tonight needs to unite with us, because judgment is going to begin with us. Judgment will begin at the house of God. Christians are in the house of God, and judgment must begin at us. But notice, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Did you see the us and the them? I need you to understand something here tonight. When I talk about the church of Christ, that's us. And when I talk about world religions, Catholicism, Protestantism, denominationalism, and any other kind of ism, that's the them. Are you paying attention? Somebody asked me, why do you say isms? What does that mean? Let me show you what isms mean. I-S-M-S, isms. Now this acronym I is something. I is, S something, M missing. When I talk about isms, is something missing? Well, the question is, preacher, what's missing? I-S-M. It's something missing. Scripture. Say amen when you can. What's missing tonight? Anytime you deal with isms, Scripture is missing. You can't find it in the Scripture. So I need to talk to you tonight. I need to help you to see why we exist as the church of Christ. Now remember, God has chosen us in Him. When? Before the foundation of the world. Now let's see where we can find this us. Because I maintain this us is the church. And I need to see where we can find this church. Before you start looking in a physical, territorial location, you need to look in a spiritual location. We need to look spiritually first, physically second. So where is this church or this body. Come to Romans chapter 12, verses 4 and 5. And then I'm going to Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. Romans chapter 12, verses 4 and 5. When you have it, just say amen. If you don't like saying amen, nod your head. And if your head is too heavy, pat your toes. I just need you to be there. Are you in Romans 12? 4 and 5. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ. Now notice, you remember, he has chosen us in him. Well, the him is Christ. Now notice what's in Romans 12 and verse 5. So we being many are one body in Christ. So what's in Christ? One body in Christ. But notice, he has chosen us in him. Now the one body in Christ makes up the us that's in Christ. Now you can't miss this. You need to see it. And the only way I believe you can miss it is that someone helps you miss it. I don't believe you can miss this on your own. I don't believe you can miss this by yourself. Now, where is this us in him? Where is this one body in Christ? So if you want to be in Christ, you need to get with the us. Because the us is in Christ. The one body is in Christ. So watch Ephesians chapter 1. Verses 22 and 23. Your Bible says, and has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Now I want you to focus on the part that says the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Now, I'm not trying to be smart. I only finished high school, the 12th grade, so I don't know much about all of this other stuff. But I thank God I learned how to read, and I'm thankful for that. And all of these guys who gone and matriculated through college and got their degrees, and now they can talk Hebrew, Greek, Aramaic, and some more stuff. Well, that's good. But I just want to tell you all, this word fullness comes from a word which means I feel. Now, wait a minute. I'm not talking about F-E-E-L. No. It's not that feel. It's F-I-L-L. Now, if I had to go to school, I'd say it's from a word, a pleroma, which comes from a word, pleris. If I had to go to school, I don't want to go, but you know, I had a hard time when I was going to school. I don't want to go there, but if you make me go, I'll go. I need you to understand. Now, what is Paul saying? The church is the fullness of him. That is, the church feels Christ. That is, the church completes Christ. That is, the church complements Christ. That is, the church makes Christ complete. The church supplies Christ. Let me give you an illustration. Brother, Sister Mitchell, been married a long time. And you see, when God first or created Adam, God saw that it was not good. In Genesis 2:18, that the man should be alone. I will make and help meet for him. And out of the ground, the Lord God called every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and the cattle and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called, that was the name thereof. But for Adam, that was not found and help meet for him. So the Lord God called the deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and while he slept, he told up the flesh instead thereof, and with the rib made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Adam lost the rib, but he gained a wife. Adam is incomplete because he doesn't have that rib. But when God made the woman and brought the woman to the man, Adam is complete again. And Eve is his rib. Am I correct about it? And I just want to tell all of you good brothers out there, God took one rib from Adam and made a woman, so Adam didn't have a spare rib. Didn't have a woman on the side. Didn't have a spare rib, just one rib. Made a woman with the rib. Am I correct about it? Now don't make me preach under this tent tonight. I'm trying to be nice under here. I don't want anybody falling out. I'm trying to be good under this tent. Brother Mitchell brought me here to act right. So I'm trying to act right. I need you to understand. Now watch this. When Adam received Eve, he was complete again. Now, Brother Mitchell, understand me here. Brother Mitchell was all alone till he met Sister Mitchell. And when he met her, he became complete. She supplements him. She compliments him. She makes him complete. And whatever he needs, she supplies it. I guarantee you, Sister Mitchell will tell every woman in here, I don't need any woman in here to help me with Brother Mitchell. Say amen when you can. Are you paying attention? I need your attention tonight. So what do you think Paul is saying? Paul is saying the church is Christ's body. The church supplements. The church complements. The church supplies. And the church makes Christ complete. Christ doesn't need any other church to help him. And the church doesn't need any other man or savior to help her. The church makes Christ complete. Christ lost some blood. And with that blood, he purchased his wife. You know Acts 20 and verse 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseer to feed the church of God which he has purchased with his own blood. Now let me tell you something. I know the verse says church of God. But I also know he uses a pronoun. He. Church of God which he has purchased with his own blood. Now wait a minute. You don't ask which God shed the blood, because there isn't but one God. If you ask which God, you are implying that there is more than one God. If I said to you tonight, I have this Bible, it belongs to me. And when you look up here, you don't ask me which Bible is mine. There isn't but one up here. This one is mine. Christ is the second person in the Godhead. The Father is considered the first person. The Holy Spirit is considered the third person. Well, let me help somebody. 1 John chapter 5, verse number 7. Oh, I know what the theologians are saying. They're saying that this passage is an interpolation or spurious. Well, what does that mean? They claim that this verse is not in some of the major manuscripts. So some translations took it out. But I don't worry about that because I know what truth is. And I'm going to help you see it. 1 John 5:7, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. Now notice, they say this verse should not be in the Bible. Well, all I want to know, can you count to three? That's all I want to know. If this verse shouldn't be in the Bible, have you read Matthew 6 and verse 9? You know what the book says? Jesus taught his disciples to pray. He said, when you pray, pray our Father which art in heaven. So where is the Father? In heaven. Can you say one? That's one. Am I correct about it? You remember Hebrews chapter 1:1-3. God who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the Father by the prophets hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sin, and sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Well, if the Father is in heaven, and the Son sat on his right hand, that tells me the Son is where the Father is. That's in heaven. I could take you to Acts chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. Behold, why stand ye here gazing up into heaven? That same Jesus whom you've seen go into heaven shall so come in like manner. Jesus is in heaven. That's two. Are you listening? 1 Peter 1:12. Peter said the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. Are you all paying attention? The Holy Ghost came from heaven. That's three. I don't need 1 John 5:7 to tell me there are three in heaven. If 1 John 5:7 is an interpolation, then Matthew 6:9 is an interpolation. Then Acts 1:10-11 is an interpolation. Then 1 Hebrews 1:1-3 is an interpolation. Then 1 Peter 1:12 is an interpolation. Then every passage where I see the Father and the Son in heaven is an interpolation or spiritual. And before long, you're going to take a whole lot of verses out of the Bible. Say amen when you get it. The Bible says, feed the church of God, which he, God, has purchased with his own blood. You know, I stopped by to tell you the Father is spirit. John 4:23-24. Jesus met the woman at the well, said to her, the hour cometh, and now here when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So the Father is spirit. The Holy Spirit is spirit. Jesus himself said, Luke 24:39, handle me and see, for it is I myself. For a spirit has not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. Holy Spirit doesn't have flesh, bone, blood, nor water. The Father doesn't have flesh, bones, blood, nor water. But God the Son has flesh, bones, blood,
tank water. Oh, don't make me go too far with this. I'm trying to quit this little part right here, but you keep looking up here like you don't understand. Feed the church of God, the church of Christ, the church of His dear Son, the church of the Lord, which He, Jesus Christ, has purchased with His own blood. Isn't that clear? Somebody needs to see. You need to get with us. Don't stay with them. You need to come from among them and get with us. Well, let me work on it. Just a little bit longer, and then I'll take my seat. Brother Mitchell, I don't preach as long as I used to. I know you all remember James Brown. Y'all know the old professional, father of soul. Well, James Brown used to say, I'm going to hit it and quit. Well, that's what I'm doing these days. I'm just hitting it. Is that all right? So when I hit it, I have to hit it strong. I have to hit it so people can understand it. I have to hit it so folks can see it. And then I quit. Oh yes, I'm going to hit it and quit. So I need you to 1 Corinthians 12, verse number 27. I need to show you this. 1 Corinthians 12, verse number 27. Are you in the text? The Bible says, now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. Now notice, now ye are the what? Body of Christ. Now I don't want you to forget this. What's in Christ? One body in Christ. Where are the us? In Christ. How many bodies? In Christ. One body in Christ. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. Now that means you are individual members, but collectively we are the body of Christ. Well, for some clarity, go to verse 18. For some clarity, listen to the book. But now has God set the members, every one of them, as it has in the body, as it has pleased Him. Now, where did God set every member? In the body. Again, where is the body? In Christ. How many bodies? In Christ. So God set every member in the one body. All of us who have been chosen in Him from the foundation of the world are in one body. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. Drop down to verse 8:28. Listen to this. And God has set some in the church. Now wait a minute. In verse 18, He set every member in the body. But in verse 28, He set some in the church. Why did the book say He set some? I thought in verse 18 He said everyone. Well, He did. He set everyone in the body. But in verse 28, He didn't give everyone miraculous gifts. He only gave miraculous gifts to some. But now the some are placed in the same place where the everyone is placed. The some are placed in the church everyone is placed in the body. So that tells me the body is the church. Say amen when you get it. So what is the body? The church. Now watch this. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. Now ye are the church of Christ and members in particular. You have to understand this. And God said some in the church, first apostle, secondarily prophet, thirdly teacher, after that miracle, then gifts of healing, health, government, diversity of tongues. Are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. Are all workers of miracles? No. Have all the gifts of healing? No. Do all speak with tongues? No. Do all interpret? No. You got to understand, these are miraculous gifts. He didn't give to everybody, but he gave to some. Isn't that all right? I need you to understand tonight why we exist as the church of Christ. I'm going to make it plain. I'm going to make it as plain as I can make it. Now God willed it. The church of Christ be in Christ before the foundation of the world. Now let me tell you what folk are saying. They are saying that the church of Christ is an afterthought. What they mean by that is, Christ came to establish his kingdom, but the Jews confronted him and rejected him and stopped him from establishing the kingdom. So since he couldn't establish the kingdom, he established the church. But I beg to differ with what they are saying. I maintain tonight they didn't stop him from establishing his kingdom. The problem is they just don't know what the kingdom is. Are you all paying attention? Oh, I'm going to close in a minute. You need to see this. I maintain that the church and the kingdom have the same owner. Did you catch it? The church and the kingdom have the same owner. Go over to Matthew 16, verse 18. I'm going to talk about this kingdom, this church, for 2 weeks. And I guarantee you, man, I'm going to talk about it so much. If Ray Charles was still living and Stevie Wonder, they both were sitting in these two chairs, I'm going to make it so plain that old Ray will lean over and he'll say to Stevie, I see it, Stevie. That's how plain. I plan to make it a blind man will be able to see this before I finish here in 2 weeks. I need somebody to hear Jesus. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Now wait a minute. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now I don't want to go to verse 19. I want to go to John 18 and verse number 36. And then I'll be back to verse 19. In Matthew 16. Do you all have a little more time? In the book of John, chapter 18, verse 36, Jesus answered, said unto him of them, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered unto the Jews, but my kingdom is not from hence. Notice when he said in Matthew 16:18, I will build my church. You and I know that my soul's ownership It's a possession. Jesus possesses and owns the church. He said, my church. Well, when it comes to the kingdom, he possesses and owns the kingdom. He said, my kingdom. The same Jesus that owns the church owns the kingdom. I don't have time to go back and deal with Daniel's prophecy, Zechariah's prophecy, and all of those men, but I'll do it before the 2 weeks are up. But I need to go back. Matthew 16, verse 19. Now watch. In John 18, he said, my kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is not from hence. Well, Jesus, if it is not of this world, from hence, where is it from? And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Where did it come from? Came from heaven. Now watch this. You may ask, well, preacher, human beings are in the kingdom. Down here on earth, how can you say it came from heaven? Well, let me tell you, the owner came from heaven. The power came from heaven. The king came from heaven. I need you to hear me on this. Everything that is about this church, this kingdom, started in heaven, in the mind of God, and God brought it down to earth. You got to hear this. Jesus is the power of God. He is the authority of God. He is the ruler of God. I wish I had some time. I'd go back to Micah, chapter 5, verse number 2. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be the ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been from of old, even everlasting. That's Christ who was born in Bethlehem. Am I correct about it? Oh, if I really had time, I'd go to Isaiah chapter 9, verse number 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, and of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom he shall establish it with justice and mercy forever and forever. In other words, Jesus Christ came down from heaven as the authority of God. That's why the theme says, by what authority? The church of Christ is here by the authority of God, the authority of Christ, and the authority of the Holy Spirit. By what authority does the church of Christ exist? It exists because of Christ's authority. You raise the question, I'm just answering it. Because the battle is right. A whole lot of folk got this thing all mixed up. They say the Jews stopped it from establishing his kingdom. But I maintain, if the Jews had that much power to stop him the first time, why don't they have the same power to stop him the second time? The reason why they can't stop him the second time is because they couldn't stop him the first time. He came to do exactly what he did. He established his kingdom on Pentecost Day. Well, you do know, in order to have a kingdom, there are four essentials. Number one, there must be a king. Number two, there must be a law. Number three, there must be subjects. And number four, there must be territory. Jesus is King of Kings. The gospel is the law of the kingdom. Christians are the subject, and the world is the territory. Am I correct about it? Now, don't make me go put a scripture on each one of these statements I just made. If you pull on it, I'll keep you here half tonight. I'll find a scripture for everyone. Jesus is King of Kings. Revelation 9, 17:14. I'm telling you, the gospel is his law. Romans 1:16. The questions of the subject. Acts 11:26. The territory is the world. Matthew 28:19. Now, if you don't believe it, I'll go quote every one of them. Keep you here a little while longer. The Bible is right. They didn't stop him from establishing his kingdom. Colossians 1:13. Well, let me back up to verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers. Isn't that right? Oh, yes, the Bible is right. Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who have delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Am I correct about it? The Bible is right and men are wrong. Well, I need to do one other thing and then try to go to my seat. I need you to understand there's this thing called reconciliation. I need to talk about being reconciled. Now, I need you to understand there are at least two words for reconcile, reconciling, and reconciliation. One of them is a katalasso. Katalasso means to change. The other one is katalege. Katalege means to exchange. Now, what I want you to understand is this. God made an exchange. Now, the exchange was not equal. But I'm glad he made an exchange. You see, when he made an exchange, he gave me something and I gave him something. What he gave me was perfect. What I gave him was imperfect. What he gave me was right, or righteousness. What I gave him was unrighteousness. What he gave me was justice. What I gave him was injustice. What he gave me was light. What I gave him was darkness. It was an exchange, but it wasn't an equal exchange. But I'm glad he gave me something. You remember 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. Unto him, oh, wait, I'm getting underneath these. Let me slow this up. He made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Notice, who knew no sin. I knew sin. He knew no sin. He made him, you got it, to be sin. Now, wait a minute. That doesn't mean Jesus became a sinner. Sin cannot atone for sin. What that means is Jesus became the sin offering. No, a lot of folks run around talking about, well, you know, I was a drunkard and Jesus became a drunkard. So I can know, honey, Jesus didn't become a drunkard. You were just one. Don't start lying on Jesus. Well, you know, I was a fornicator. Jesus became a fornicator. No, he did not. Don't you lie on Jesus. You were a fornicator. Jesus didn't fornicate. Well, you know, honey, Jesus was a wife beater. That's a lie. Jesus wasn't a wife beater. You're a wife beater. So don't try to make like Jesus was like you. He was not like you in the sin department. Well, I'll go to Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 15 on you. I said, I'll go over there. Why? Because the Bible is right. You know what your Bible says? For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmity, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. He wasn't a sinner. So what does this word reconcile have to do with us? Well, let me break it down in English, since we speak English. Forget that Greek stuff folk been trying to tell us about. Let's get it in English. Re means again. Rewrite it. Write it again. Redo it. Do it again. Isn't that right? Consile means to justify or to make friends. Man was a friend of God. But sin separated man from God. Thus, man became an enemy of God. So Jesus came and died on the cross for the church to reconcile the enemy back to himself. So in Ephesians 2:16. I said Ephesians 2:16. I'm almost finished. You don't know it and don't even believe it, but I'm almost finished. And that he might reconcile both under God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Am I correct about it? Now notice where this reconciliation takes place. In one body by the cross. I maintain there isn't but one church in this world that came by the cross. Every man that I know that built the church got rich but Jesus. Every man I know that built the church made money but Jesus. You have to say, man, it's right on anyway. Jesus came. He wasn't looking for material goods. He didn't have a jet and a mansion down here. His jet was a cloud. When he got ready to leave, he boarded it. He didn't have a mansion down here. Matthew 8:20. The foxes, birds of the air have nests. Fox of the earth have holes. But I, the Son of Man, has nowhere to lay his head. When Jesus told those guys, follow me, he wasn't trying to take them home down on this earth. When he said, follow me, he had a home up in heaven. I read it over in John 14 and verse number 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whether I go, ye know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it suffices us. Jesus said to Philip, Philip, have I been so long with you, and yet ye have not known me? When you have seen me, you have seen the Father. How then say us, show us the Father? Am I correct about it? You don't have to say man, but the Bible is right on anyway. Why do we exist as the church of Christ? Because God willed it. Paul said unto me, who am less than all the least of saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which had been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Now I want you to get it. The fellowship of the mystery is no longer a mystery. It has now been made known that unto intent and principality authorities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God. Watch might be known by the church. It's the church's responsibility to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. It's no longer a mystery. What God did in his mind, he brought it into fruition. You see, a long time ago in Genesis 3, verse 15, the book says, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, thou shalt bruise his heel. Now watch this seed. God made a promise to Abraham that to thy seed shall all nations be blessed. Well, in the book of Galatians 3, verse 16, now to Abraham and to his seed were the promises made. He said, not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, to thy seed, which is Christ. Well, I'm not going to do all this. I'm not going to tell you this is the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham, and Abraham begot Isaac, and Isaac begot Jacob, and Jacob begot Judah, and his brethren, and Judah begot Zerah, Tamar, and Terah. Zerah begot Ezra, and Ezra begot Aram, and Aram begot Aminadab, and Aminadab begot Nazar, and Nazar begot Salmon, and Salmon begot Boaz, and Rachel, and Boaz begot Obed, and Ruth, and Obed begot Jesse, and Jesse begot David the king, and David the king begot Solomon, who had been the wife of Uriah. Solomon begot Rehoboam, and Rehoboam begot Abia, and Abia begot Asa. I'm not going to go through all of that. What I want to tell you is simply this. When it comes down to the seed, you got to understand in Galatians 4 and verse number 4, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son made of a woman made under the law to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as son. Mary had Jesus. Jesus went to the cross, shed his blood for the church, the kingdom. Now you can be a part of that church. Why do we exist as the church of Christ? Because number one, it was God's will that the church of Christ exist today. Now the question here, do you want to be a part of it? Remember us and them? I will guarantee you, when this life is over, you don't want to be caught with them. You want to be with Paul's us. Well, how do you get with us? You have to obey the gospel. Acts 15:7. When there had been much disputing, Peter rose up, said to them, men and brethren, you know that a good while ago, God made choice among us that the Gentiles, by my mouth, should hear the word of the gospel and believe. Now, belief does not make you a child of God. It gives you the right or the power to become a child of God. Anybody look for a job recently? Anybody in here looking? Y'all do work over here, don't you? Anybody lost a job, needed a job, went looking for a job? Did they give you an application that you had to fill out for the job? See, the application doesn't get you the job. The application only gives you the right or the power to get the job. I tell you what, don't fill out an application and see if you get the job. Are you listening? Well, belief is like an application. It only gives you the right to become. That's John 1 and verse number 12. Verse number 10 says, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Belief doesn't make you a child of God. If belief makes you a child of God, then the devil. is a child of God. James 2:19. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devil also believe and tremble. Shut up. Fearful. I'd be scared too. If I were up there in heaven and he kicked me out and then I ran across him down here on earth, I'd be scared of him too. I remember what he did for me up there. I know I wouldn't bother him down here if he whipped me from up there. And I know he'll get me again down here. But I said, I'd get scared too, won't you? Y'all act like you've never been in a fight before and lost. You've been in a fight before and lost. Every time you see that guy who whipped you, you go another direction. That's why when you let Jesus in your life, every time Satan comes upon you, let Jesus answer him. I guarantee you he'll run. You know why? He remembered the whipping Jesus put on him in heaven. You don't have to say, man, I'm trying to show you how to whip that devil. I'm not afraid of him. When he knocks, I say, Jesus, I need you. He steps to the door, greets Satan, and there he runs off. I remember Matthew 4:11. Satan tempted Jesus 3 times. And in verse 11, the Bible says, and the devil leaveth him. Y'all will be all right. All of this stuff is in the book. You have to hear and believe. But that doesn't make you a child of God. You have to turn from sin. It's called repentance. Acts 17:30. And the times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now hath commanded all men everywhere to repent. Everywhere means Kingston, Jamaica also. Over here too. And then confess Jesus. Matthew 10:32. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. And after that confession, you got to be like the eunuch. See, here is water. What doeth hinder me to be baptized? Acts 8:36. Philip said, if thou believe with all thine heart thou mayest. The eunuch answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariots to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch. And he baptized him. And straightway came up out of the water. And the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip and the eunuch. Went on his way rejoicing. The eunuch went on his way rejoicing. I got to stress that. The eunuch went on his way rejoicing. Why? I found Christ out of the scriptures. I found the church, the kingdom out of the scriptures. Well, how can you say that? Well, in Acts 8:35, the Bible said, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Well, how can you say he found the kingdom? When you preach Jesus, you preach the kingdom. Acts 8:12. But when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God, the name of Jesus Christ. They were baptized, both men and women. Am I correct about it? All I'm asking you to do tonight is consider what we've said here. Think about it as you think. As you think along your way, but don't think too long. That was a man, and I'm finished, who had a rooster. And another man had an owl. The man with the rooster said to the man with the owl, let's put them in a ring and let them fight. Let the rooster and the owl fight. And they placed them in a ring. And the rooster spurred the owl. The man that owned the rooster asked the man that owned the owl, what's wrong with that owl? He said, oh, he's just thinking. That rooster jumped again and spurred that owl again. The man asked the second time, what's wrong with that owl? Owner said, oh, he's just thinking. The third time the rooster jumped and spurred that owl, and the owl fell over and died. The man that owned the rooster said he died just thinking. You heard the word tonight. Are you thinking? You heard the gospel tonight. Are you thinking? Hebrews 9:27. For as it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. You do know that one day you are going to die. Now, right now, you are just thinking. Don't die just thinking. Too many folk have died just thinking. You need to obey Christ before you die. You want to be a Christian? Tomorrow night, I think I'm going to add part two tomorrow night. Why do we exist as the Church of Christ? Tonight we exist because God willed it. It's His will that we exist. Tomorrow night, I may show you we exist because of Christ's death, because of His domain, and because of His dynasty. We need to talk about it. You need to know why the Church of Christ is in Kingston, Jamaica tonight. We're not here just to be here. We were wielded by God to be here. Song leader, I said enough for tonight. I need you to come on. Somebody may want to come tonight. Oh, you can come tonight. We're gonna stand now. We're going to get ready to sing this invitational song. It's for those of you who have not been baptized into Christ and into the Church of Christ. It's for you. You can come and give me your hand and God your heart. Say yes to Him. Because He said yes for you. It's time.
533. Somebody. 533.